Welcome to Real Talk Friday with your hosts Rohan Das and Gus Urban.
In this groundbreaking podcast segment, we delve deep into the lives of individuals whose journey has been profoundly transformed by their faith. From the trial of adversity to the triumph of redemption, we explore real stories, real people, whose encounter with God has reshaped their existence.
Join us as we embark on a candid and enlightening journey where authenticity meets spirituality every Friday on Real Talk Friday, part of Logan City Christian Church.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Real Talk Friday. My name is Rohan Das and thank you for joining us. We're so glad you're here. Well, we've got a lot of praise report and thank God for that. Our show is doing really well and we thank God and of course Logan City Christian Church, all the members who are helping us. This Sunday, someone came up to me and said, what a great job we're doing. And they thoroughly enjoy every guest that comes in and shares their testimony. That's what we want to hear. That's a praise report for us, which I'm very, very excited about.
I'll take that encouragement.
But today again, we have another special guest for you. So we just want to say that we go beyond just to get you the best content and very encouraging testimonies for you guys.
Yeah.
And we have a new guest today, and I will again give it over to Gus here, who can introduce you to our new guest.
Hello, everyone. Welcome again to another Real Talk Friday. Today, we have a good friend of ours, Mr. Mike Headley. Welcome, Mike.
Greetings. Thank you.
We are very keen to hear your story of England, Australia, Philippines, Myanmar,
Malaysia.
It just goes on and on and on. You've been everywhere, man.
I have, man. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Great. Thank you, Mike, for being in our show.
Pleasure.
We had you last week, but due to some technical difficulties, we just couldn't do the interview. So we thank you again for being here today. So that shows us that God's really called you to be in our show and, you know, share your testimony with everyone that's listening or watching us on YouTube.
Amen.
Talking about YouTube, we've crossed our 5,000 views, which is great because we just started just the other day and we
can see that
what God's really doing in our, you know, social media, and it's really encouraging us to do more, and we thank God for it, and we thank God for you being here. So, you know, what we like in our show to start off with is just a little bit about yourself, where you grew up, what you did as, you know, coming to Australia. I know you have a journey, same way that we had another Mike in the show who had a journey too, from the UK to Australia. And yeah, we're keen to hear about, you know, your upbringing and how it was for you to grow up in a Christian family or not, and how God really worked on you. So I'll give it up to you to have a little chat and tell us.
Okay. Well, I was born in 1939 in south of London. And I always joke, Hitler saw me and started the war. No, seriously. The bomb started to drop when I was nearly two, and so they sent a whole load of kids up to the north of England to escape the bombs. So when we came back to London, the bombs were still dropping, but not as significant as they were in the first place. So I'm here.
Yeah.
I'm alive. And that was just quite not very good. So eventually I became a choir boy. My dad was a choir boy, my mum was a singer, my sister, we're all choristers an Anglican church in London. So we enjoyed that. So I always, why I'm saying that is because I always had respect for God, even though I didn't know him as I know him now.
Yeah.
I always had that respect. I would never curse, you know, because I was brought up in that way.
Yeah.
But I didn't understand any more than that.
Yeah.
But then at 15... I went to a Billy Graham crusade. I presume most people know who Billy Graham was. His son is in the Gold Coast next week. So I went to Billy Graham, as there was something like 30,000-40,000 people in the stadium in London.
Wow.
And a good 50% came forward to accept Christ.
Wow.
And I was one of them.
Yeah.
And so... 2 days later, I get a phone call. You don't mind a bit of humor?
No.
I got a phone call from an old mate. You know, we used to go out together and do crazy things.
Yeah.
So okay, yeah, good day. Oh, good day, John. Party? No, no, I'm a Christian now. Yeah, you heard right. I'm a Christian.
Yeah.
No, mate, I can't. No.
Yeah.
I'll hang up the phone and he rings the second time, and so I said, "Mate, I've already told you I'm a Christian. I can't." What'd you say, Mary? And she's asking for me, really? Well, just this once, mate. Just this once. So I put the phone down, and that was it for 22 years.
Yeah, wow.
But having said that, I'd made the decision for Christ.
Yeah.
And unless I said, God, go away, he was with me.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
every time I sinned, I felt so guilty. And I wondered why.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Until 22 years later, I came fully into the kingdom.
22 years after the Billy Graham crusade. Yeah, well, it's funny because we had Pastor Rolly on last week, and there's been quite a few others in this church that have said they got saved in a Billy Graham crusade. It must have been, well, obviously before my time, but it must have been a very, very common thing that he went everywhere.
Yeah,
And
he did.
Mm. And a lot of people got saved through his ministry.
Well, I know he went London, Manchester, Scotland, then he came to Australia, then he went to America. So he did. He's a mighty man of God.
Yeah, No, incredible.
He definitely was a mighty man of God, really. Mm. Billy Graham was also being like, you know, I've never seen him personally, but I've heard stories from my parents, and I always love listening to some of his preachings online, which is really great. And, you know, he's a great inspiration. He's gone. He's in heaven. I bet he's having a wonderful time with Jesus. But
yeah, that's right.
He's still left a legacy, which a young person like me is still, you know, listening to it. I'm like, wow, this is such amazing preaching, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what, you know, it's all about, leaving a legacy, you know, building the kingdom of God that will last forever. You know, what he's built is going to last forever. So thank you for telling us about your you know, your childhood and everything. Mm. I'm just keen to know, when did you come to Australia? When was that?
1971.
Oh, wow.
We before that, I joined the Air Force.
Oh, yeah, go on to
that. About that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Go for it.
Because it was a vital part of my struggle in those 22 years.
Yeah, okay. Yep, yep.
They sent me to Malaysia, and I was there in 61, 62 at the end of the conflict in, you know, so we were involved. They gave us rifles, you know, and we had to look after ourselves. And
yeah, wow.
But that ended, so I had three incredible years in Penang, and I was on the beach one day, and I met this beautiful girl, and I married her.
Long story short.
Yeah, long story short.
Keeping it simple.
So we went back to England, and we raised three children, and it was great. But then England was cold, and I didn't like to live there much, and so we came to Australia. In those days, we could just walk in, being English. We didn't have to have visas or anything.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, we came in together.
Yeah.
But whilst quickly going back to the Air Force, I was in that wilderness I was telling you about, and so I had the Anglican and the Catholic minister in the Air Force that were vying for my faith. So I was having fun, you know, and the Catholic guy was telling me, you know, and the Anglican guy was saying, you should, your Anglican background, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, yeah.
And then one day the Catholic got a bit smarter and won me over.
Yeah,
So anyhow, I went for about, I don't know, 10 years. But then come winter in England, three kids, you know, three gloves, three hats, three scarves, three coats.
Yeah.
And then you get in there, off, three scarves. And then, you know, go in the name of Jesus. Okay, back on, three scarves. And I was thinking, then you get home, same procedure. And I was thinking, come on, what am I getting out of this?
Yeah.
So I stopped going to the Catholic Church.
Yeah, yeah.
And it wasn't until I came here on the ninth hour of the ninth month in 1981.
Wow.
Barry Smith was a pastor talking about end times.
Yeah.
I ran forward. He said, "You're keen." He said, "The sermon touched your heart." I said, "No, not really." He looked at me. I said, "I've just decided I'm sick to death of walking in the wilderness." And he said, you need someone to nurture you. This is vitally important, you know. And I said, yeah, I do. Yeah. And so this guy overheard, and he grabbed me, and he said, come on. And I said, yeah, I'm not letting you go. And so for nearly 2 months, he nurtured me, and I thank God I'm sitting here today because of that.
No, that's one of the best things that anyone can do in a church is to disciple someone.
Absolutely.
In their early steps, it's I think we miss it when if we were to get, say, 20 people saved, we could say, wow, that was amazing. But if they never get discipled, we just missed one of the most crucial steps in their lives.
That's exactly right.
So, yeah. And you're bearing the fruit of that now, of having someone take the time to disciple you in your early days.
And all those years wasted.
Mm. Yeah. Yep. No, and that was here in Australia when you got saved, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah, God's country, of course. Yeah.
Of course, yeah. Queensland, beautiful one day, better the next.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I got my maroon shirt on.
Oh, you do,
State of Origin's coming up, so...
Now we're getting political.
Yeah. Leave some comments on YouTube before Pastor Garcia.
Queensland all the way, so...
Yeah.
But that's amazing. Thank you for sharing that, Mike. So, you know, I really like what you said about discipleship. I think we should always, as you said, discipleship's very important. Mm. Like, even with my journey with Christ, discipleship has really helped me get to where I am right now.
Yeah.
Wouldn't say I'm perfect, but
I'm getting close to it.
Oh, thank you for that, Gus.
He looks good, doesn't he?
Oh, absolutely. Well, he helps me out a lot, so.
On that, can I quickly share something, very short?
Go for it.
Yeah. I learned something a while back, and it touched my heart, because it's not difficult to nurture people. But on Sunday, you get a lot of people come to church, you get the hurting, the angry, the frustrated. It's a place where we need to minister to them, and you can't expect to minister to them on the spot and send them home. Because many of them have to go home and cook food and look after the dad or something like that. So, but you have a limited space, limited time.
Yeah.
So my wife and I used to split before the service, and we would talk to the people. But the following week, we'd look for them, and we'd say, hi, John and Mary, strike one.
Yeah, yep.
How's your daughter? Can we visit her in hospital? Strike two, three, four, five.
Yeah.
Do you think, I've shared this with you before, you think we are making a friend now? My word, we are.
Absolutely.
Unless they're hard-hearted.
Yeah, yeah.
And so then you have an opportunity to share into their lives, and that's meaningful, and that's discipleship, and that's what Jesus did.
Exactly right.
Yeah. And there's also a sense of community there, because, you know,
exactly.
I've come from a country without my parents. I came alone to Australia to study, and at the moment I'm staying here, but when I came, you know, the first thing I tried to look for family is in the church.
Yeah.
Coming to church, just sitting there, you know, you kind of remember home. Oh, you know, I used to go to church with my parents, you know, and Sunday was a day where, you know, my parents used to go, we used to have, you know, church activities, pack up in church, go out and have some dinner or lunch.
Yeah.
Whichever. Yeah. The routine. Depends on the day.
Yeah.
So I really miss that. You know, that connection and you know, Sunday just together. Sitting in church, I'm just like, wow, I wish I could have that. You know, I wish my parents would be here and we could enjoy that, you know, watch a movie or something.
Yeah.
So, you know, what you do, I it's dear to my heart, because I feel it, because that shows love. And that's what, you know, we all stand for. You know, church is not for the perfect people. Unfortunately, that's what people
think.
You know?
That's why all the more reason why we have to reach out to them.
Yeah.
So that was really great, because, as I said, dear to my heart, and I really like people, because I know there were some families when I first came to the Gold Coast to study. There was a couple of there was a couple that came up to me and said, hi, exactly what you did. And I felt, wow. And I was looking for them the next Sunday, you know, not actively looking, but I'm like, oh, it would be great to see them.
So we do that instead of them. So that ensures that you have contact.
Exactly right.
But I can tell you, they also try to look for you, because it's, you know, you significantly affect their life. You know, it's just those small gestures that are important. Mm. It's not that you go out of your way and do something for them, but it's just a hug is, you know, enough
for
them to feel loved. And that's what's all about. You know, we are a community, we're a family, you know, essentially.
But first time, I think, too, we have to be careful, because sometimes I watch their eyeballs, you know, they're thinking of the footy, or they're thinking of the meat's in the oven or something like that. Yeah, yep. And you watch their eyes as you talk to them, and they start to go ding dong, ding dong, ding dong, ding dong, and you know it's time for the footy. Okay, bless you, bye.
Yeah.
But that's a gift you have, Mike, then.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that are not emotionally intelligent or are not able to read psychologically what the person, the body language of the person, and you know that's definitely a gift, because you're able to read then, and you're like, okay, this is my boundary, I'm not gonna pass. Like that's I don't think they're comfortable, and you go and move on. I'm sure when they're comfortable, they'll come back to you.
Well, that's right. And I guess the main thing is with church, we can get so caught up in how long our service goes for, what songs we sing, how long our sermon goes for, what we preach about, all these different things. It's a shame to put all that time and effort into a service and forget about making people feel loved and welcome.
Yeah. That's right.
That's the foundation of everything.
I mean, does a person come in angry because he had a fight and go home angry?
Exactly right. In coming into the house of God to be able to feel that love and maybe just someone to talk to that just helps them through.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, quite recently I watched a video online of a church. A pastor was preaching as a Sunday sermon, and like in the crowd, he heard someone swear.
I saw that one.
Yep.
Yeah.
And he just completely stopped his preaching.
Yep.
And he asked the person to come forward. And he was a homeless guy who someone in the congregation had brought to church. And he said that he would have given his life away or killed himself that day.
Yeah.
It wasn't for that person who bought. And, you know, I really respect pastors like that, that actually, you know, that shows genuine care.
Exactly.
And Logan City Christian Church is definitely like that. I felt it when I first came.
Yes.
You know, I came during a New Year's Eve service. You may have heard that in the first podcast.
Yeah.
And I felt very welcomed. And I'm like, this feels like home.
Yeah.
It feels like family. And that's what it's all about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, coming back to you, Mike. So that's really amazing. You know, I really like that, you know, you spent so much of your life in the UK, but you got saved in Australia. It's really, really good.
Beauty, mate.
Yeah,
that's it.
So let's talk about more of your relationship, if you don't mind, between your family, like your family relationship. How did that change once, you know, God was the center of everything?
Well, my children, I have 3 children and 4 grandkids.
Nice.
And, well, 3 then.
Yep.
They didn't say much, but they backed away, which often happens.
Yeah,
my granddaughter is involved in theatre work.
Nice.
And so I don't get to talk much to her. My 3 children, they don't want to know. Yet when Anna and I were excited and we came to Jesus, the 3 children followed.
Yeah.
But my upbringing, my upbringing was very, very sensitive because of the war and because of kids will be seen and not heard. You put your elbow on the table and whack, you know. And if you don't want to eat it, you have it for breakfast, go to bed, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
It set a pattern in their lives, and so it's very hard to minister to our kids. You know, when we've had that sort of upbringing.
Yeah.
Now, of course, it's different.
Yep.
I'm filled with the Spirit and God is just surging forward.
Yeah. Yep.
But then it was difficult.
Yep.
So finding it that they all drifted away. And if we talk about God, dad, stop, you know, they respected me and they respected mum, but that was it. You know?
Yeah.
And that is a common scenario.
Yep.
And, and even now, they're like that. But my daughter is warming.
Oh, fantastic.
She's picking me up every week and we go out for a meal.
Yep.
And my son in Sydney, he's in business. He's now ringing me, whereas before I had to ring him.
So things,
I believe God's beginning to move, because I was worrying myself sick. Jesus, can I tell you this quickly?
Yeah, go for it, yeah.
Jesus was weeping over Lazarus, even though he knew that he was going to go and raise him from the dead. He still wept.
Yep.
And he wept over Israel. And, Yet I'm sure that he didn't worry.
Yeah.
And we had prayer meetings here.
We did. And yeah,
you were there, weren't you?
Well,
yes.
It was just,
yes.
While you were sharing that, I was thinking back, yes, to those Thursday nights where,
that's right,
we're just by faith praying and believing, knowing that God, yeah, can touch every heart that's out there.
Yeah. Well, somebody said to me, I believe the Lord's telling me, trust.
Yeah, that's right.
And I transferred that word to, you know, understanding that worry is a killer.
Absolutely.
Worry puts your body through sicknesses. And
yeah.
And so I went home, and I've been, ever since then, I've been praying, Lord, help me not to worry. And then I stopped praying. I think, oh, yeah. Oh, sorry, Lord.
Yeah.
It's not easy.
No.
We have to work on it. And since I've been working on it,
yep,
they are warming to me. So there's something that I believe God,
no,
is.
And I believe this will give hope to a lot of our listeners out there, because this is a very common thing. And yeah, where we, because our family, out of anything in the world and everybody out there, they are the ones that are closest to us, mean, absolutely, the most to us.
Yeah.
And we can so easily worry about and,
mm,
and yeah, to hear what God's been doing in your life and seeing it on Thursday nights and everything, mm, like that. And I remember that night where trust and not worry, and
yeah,
you've been pursuing that.
Yeah.
Just an incredible statement of faith.
It is, isn't it?
And we don't always get it right, and it's that journey of learning to trust as well, but we're heading in that direction.
We are.
Yeah. And so for all of our listeners and viewers out there, like, I'm sure there are a lot of people that you guys are facing the same thing. You know, we are to have faith in God, our prayers. You know, James talks about when our prayers line up with heaven, with God's will, they will be answered.
Mm.
So just have faith in them. And you know, yeah, it's God's will that no man should perish. So,
right,
yeah. So viewers, hold on to that if you're,
yeah,
believing.
Amen, amen for that. Well, that's such a good conversation. We've not even come half of this segment.
No, we haven't even really started
yet.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah.
We just had such a great conversation.
Yeah.
Well, Mike, coming back to your life, yeah, it's difficult, as you said, sometimes, you know, if the family's not on board, as we said in our last podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
It's very difficult.
Mind you, my kids are going to see this.
Fantastic. Hello to all Mike's kids.
Yeah. Greetings. But yeah, so yeah, it's really good that God, you know, works. It's not an instant thing. And that's the problem, because we can keep on praying and fasting about this, and God does it at his own time, and we need to understand that his timing's the right timing.
Mm, yes.
And sometimes we just, you know, it's like any fast food drive through where we want to, you know, just walk up, see the request, get it, and go. It doesn't happen that way.
No, if only though.
Yeah, if only.
Yeah.
I think, you know, sometimes, you know, as we've seen in the Bible, God takes generation to fulfill his promise.
Yeah,
he does fulfill his promise, but it does take generations for him to do
that's
it.
That's right.
Sometimes, yeah.
So it is, we'll keep praying for everyone. And, you know, it's difficult, even including me. You know, we all have things in our family that aren't the best, and you want God to come and intervene. So we'll keep everyone in prayers for that. And I think that's something we can pray about towards the end of the show.
Yeah,
that's
definitely
very important.
Definitely.
Yeah. So coming back to your life again, Mike, it's so amazing what God's done. God's done great things in your life. I want to talk about more of your ministry now and what you do and what you did before. So how did you get into ministry?
I'm hopeless with numbers. Say round figures, 20 years ago, I went to the Philippines with a friend of mine, Arturo, who they run this children's ministry.
Yeah, good people.
Yeah, you know,
we've
known each other for years. So they invited me to go over, and then they belonged to a local church, so I was preaching in the church and working with the kids. And then from then, the church, run by a guy, he's a bishop, but they call him bishop, and he has churches all around the world and all around the Philippines. And he had young pastors training them up in the church in Manila. And so what would happen, I would pick up one of the pastors, say, come on, and we go off to one of their satellites.
Mm.
So we virtually did all the way around the country.
Yeah, wow.
And each one we went to was something new and exciting every time. And we saw miracles every time.
Yeah.
And I was encouraging these young fellas and they were encouraging me.
Yep.
And so that was the beginning. Yep. And then from then onwards, I got to know the guy in the mountains. And I still traveling other places, but I kept coming back to the guy in the mountains because we had a rapport.
Yeah.
We were able to talk about the things of the spirit. And
yep.
And he played the guitar so well. And we would get up at 5 a.m. and we go into the church there and we'd worship. And about an hour to 2 hours later, we'd stop just sitting on the floor weeping in the presence of God. And, you know, no man can deny that.
Yeah.
And then we come in for breakfast and, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
But the worship is just so beautiful. And we fell in love.
Mm.
And now the family love me and I love them. And,
yep.
And so I've been going there now, locking in on that particular place.
Yep.
In the mountains. But yeah. I have been in October. I have to go for the first time run a church for 4 weeks.
Yeah, wow.
So it's going to be an experience.
Yeah, absolutely.
But they're giving me a bed. They're giving me a transport, lift, interpretation.
Yeah, nice.
And all the help I need. So
yeah, there you go.
Yeah, yeah.
That helps. Very good.
Yeah, it's so good. But of course, coming to your current ministry, you've had definitely some experience in a lot of ministry work. Yeah. Want to really hear testimonies from your ministry work. It was.
Sorry, I was going to get to that.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So I believe it was Ukraine and many other countries that you visited, and there's such amazing testimonies that we want to hear from you.
Well, take Ukraine. There was a bunch of us that went. We would meet up the north coast. I live in Brisbane, but I had to drive up every week for several weeks, and we'd just go into this room and we would pray together, and there wouldn't be a word said. We'd just be on the floor crying out to God, wow. for this trip.
Yeah.
And sure enough, the enemy knew what was happening, and we got when we got there, the mayor left a message: "You can't do the crusade," and because his brother was a minister across the road and he didn't want us to meet and all this sort of stuff.
Oh, really?
So we just prayed, and the mayor came back and said, "Look, I've been considering it. You can use half that space." Well, when the people turned up, it was like 2.5 the space. And we couldn't stop them.
No.
They just came.
Right.
And,
yeah.
And so we had incredible times. And we had two people that were originally the Russian spies, like they would dob people in, and they stayed there.
Yep.
Well, they're still the spying. And one was a woman, big lady, the other one was a guy. And every mum and dad would say, "Don't go near them." They knew, everybody knew who they were.
Yeah.
And so we had this crusade, and then one day the man went up. He couldn't even walk properly because he was just so broken, weeping. And he came up to the platform and they gave him the microphone, and in between all the sobs, he was sharing how much he'd never seen so much love. And then we went back to the hotel where the woman was looking after security because there was a lot of crime in that town. And so one of the guys is an Italian, so he got on his knees with a flower. He said, "Hey, mama, I love you. You are so beautiful. Do you know Jesus?" And she didn't understand a word he said, But, the power of the Holy Spirit, she started to weep and she accepted Christ, And then we had the chauffeur.
Yeah.
For those that don't know, it's
Yep.
It's like a horn, cow's horn.
Yep.
One of the guys with us had a chauffeur, so he blew it. Now, where we were, there was just a flat building, high trees, nothing, just flat land.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying that for is because you couldn't echo there.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
And yet he blew this horn, and about, it must have been nearly 10 minutes, you could have heard a pin drop. It was so quiet. Wow. Everybody was, and then we heard that same tune that he played come back to us.
Wow.
Yeah. And my ears are standing up. And that was just so incredibly powerful.
Wow.
Then we had a healing going off before we left on the bus. And there was a guy, a doctor lady, and I was praying for her. And she she said that she had a sickness that she knew that it was totally non-healable.
Yeah, righto.
And so, and she said, I am healed. And so we were, wow. And that there was a lady behind weeping and my interpreter.
Yeah.
They all came from the same hospital, all surgeons. And they confirmed that my name was not Thomas. they confirmed that this really was a healing.
Yeah, wow.
And look, it was just an incredible trip. Incredible. That was just the one trip. Yeah.
Yeah, wow. Wow. So many God really things. Moved. Yeah.
Wow, that's so good.
Yeah.
Well, that was not your only trip where you've, you know, seen miracles happen. So let's talk about your other trips, because I'm very keen to hear.
Well, about 40 years ago, I wrote it down here, 1988. I went to Burma, which is now Myanmar. And the sister in our church said, Mike, I hear you're going to Thailand, because I was going to visit the missionaries there and do some work with them.
Yeah.
I said, yeah. She said, well, why are you there? Why don't you hop on a plane and go to Myanmar, Burma? And I said, no, God hasn't told me. She said, well, pray about it. So I did. And I rang her back and I said, have you got a hotline to God? She said, yes. I said, I knew you did, because I'm going. So I went, and oh man, they had a hunger strike there. And there was a lot of violence. And so I thought, well, that's the end of it. So I got to the hotel and I met a Frenchman, a German, a Dutchman. They all had their visas, but they weren't chopped. They didn't get the approval because of the trouble.
Yep.
But I got mine one day before it happened, and it's still valid.
Wow.
So they were jumping in the hotel on the bed. They broke the bed. They saw me off at the airport, and they're hallelujah, singing. And I'm going, quiet, you'll get me arrested. You know?
Yeah.
So I got there, and the guy said, what do you got in the bag? And I said, Christmas presents. He said, can I see? So I gave him one. I thought, well, here we go. But he opened up. He said, oh, Bibles. I said, yeah. He said, I'm a Christian. I knew he wasn't, but they made money, you see. So I gave him two, and it kept him happy. And then we're going down, and they're cheering and shouting, and oh, be quiet.
Yeah.
And they call you Mr. by Christian name there. So, Mr. Mike. I said, uh-oh, see what you guys have done?
Yeah.
So I went back, and he said, your camera.
Wow.
Thank you.
Something like off airport security or something like that.
Yeah. Security.
Very quickly, I got through the airport, and then the taxis wouldn't take me because there was emergency going on, and they had, you know, troops everywhere.
Oh, wow. A war zone. Yeah.
They wouldn't take me. No. So I saw an Aussie. Aussie. And he said, sorry, mate, we're full, you know. So I said, well, can I ride on the back? He said, it's up to you. So they gave me an Aussie flag. So I put the flag on me, and we had four stops. What do you call them? Military stops? You know, checkpoints. Yep. Yeah. And each one I went to, they clicked their guns, and I go, Aussie, you know.
Really?
You know, and
wow,
and the fourth one, I go, oh, please, Lord, yeah. Aussie. And they let me through, and I got through, booked into the hotel.
Yeah,
there was only me because everyone had scattered.
Yeah,
and the soldiers were going in there, raping the women and using it, you know.
Gee,
and anyhow, I got in there, and I was praying, and then I heard the shooting.
Mm.
And in about two blocks away, they were killing monks, and they were given instructions to watch the green sachet that they wore, the monks.
Oh, okay.
But what they didn't reckon for is the children also wore green tops.
Oh, no way.
So they were shooting the kids, and there was about 300 killed about one block away from where I was.
Oh, my goodness.
And so that night, I just felt, wow, I need to pray.
Yeah.
So I propped up the pillars and started to sing, you know, it's the blood that sets me free. And I was singing all these songs, and the shooting was going on outside.
Wow.
And, you know, I didn't have any fear. This is the thing about it. I just knew that God was with me because I was sent there.
Yep.
And so I'm singing away, and next thing you know, this figure appears at the foot of the bed. And I knew instantly it was a spirit of death. And I looked at her, and I said, oh, she was Satan, get out in the name of Jesus, go.
Yeah.
And it went, yeah, whoa. So I started to sing, you know, oh, the blood that sets me free and all the songs I could think of. Next thing, it came up the side of the bed. Well, if you're lying in bed and you've got a demon leering over you,
yeah,
that's the first time I thought I'd ever need to wear a nappy since my baby. But honestly, it was terrifying.
Yeah.
And I was going, and I thought, no,
yep.
I'm not accepting this.
Yeah.
Satan cannot overcome me.
That's right.
He will not. So I took that authority.
Yep.
And I was yelling and shouting, it's the blood that sets me free. Put that in your pipe and smoke it, Satan. You know, and I was really going for it. And I was singing all the songs I could think of. And the next thing I remember is, God is my witness, I was awake in the morning with the Holy Spirit in the room. The sun was shining. The guns had stopped.
Yeah, wow.
And the pillars that I had propped up were about 5 meters away, a big room.
Yeah.
And I did not get out of bed.
Wow.
I know angels came to my aid.
Yeah. Yeah.
They definitely did.
Incredible. Because it's sort of like trying to imagine everything what's going on. We understand that everything that we see manifest in the natural, there's a spiritual force behind it.
Categorically.
And so you would have actually seen the spirit of death going around. Murders happening on the streets and in hotels and in houses and this, if there, I guess if we could see with our eyes, there would have been spirits all over the place, spirit of death where people could just murder others without thinking, and you actually did see that spirit of death in your room. Wow.
Then very quickly I went to the next morning, I thought go home, but the gangsters, they had control of the airport. They said, well, go, Mr. Mike, but you'd have to give them something, you know.
Well,
I got nothing. So first of all, I wanted to go into the local church, and no one would take me there because they were shooting anyone that smiled or opened the door of the church. They would be bang, bang, bang. Well, the bishop was there for the whole of the country. Yep. It was a Baptist church.
Yep.
And so I got there and... long walk. And then I saw the soldier sitting there on the corner. And so I thought, well, the right thing to do is just smile. I could sort of nod my head like, I'm not bowing to you, but I'm just respecting the fact that you're there and I don't want to get shot. Okay. You know? And so he sort of looked at me. And I banged on the door and this man opened. He was, and this was the bishop.
Yeah.
He was scared stiff.
Yeah.
He said, come in. He grabbed me. He said, you know, you could have been killed. So anyhow, he was very, very proper.
Yeah.
And I said to him, I told him what was happening, and I said, we in Australia are praying for you and blah, blah, blah. He said, you come all this way to tell me this? So to cut a long story short, I said, do you mind if I pray with you? He said, okay.
Yeah.
So he knelt down, you know, bolt upright. So I thought, I better do the same thing. So, and so I knelt down and I thought,
yeah, what do I do?
The bishop, you know. I go, And so, sorry, bishops. I'm not joking. I'm only joking. So anyhow, eventually, Holy Spirit said, come on, get on with it.
Yeah.
So I put my hands on his shoulders gently. And straight away, he just started to weep.
Wow.
You know, and I prayed with him and he got up. And we hugged.
Mm-hmm.
And he said to me afterwards, he said, I don't hug.
Yeah.
And yeah, so then I got back to the airport and the gangsters were running it. And so everyone was given a bottle of whiskey or something for, you know, go. Only one plane.
Oh.
Nobody in the control tower. You know, the whole thing was taken over. So my turn came. I just held my passport. You know, and they walked past me 4 or 5 times. And the fifth time I said, Lord, you're sending me home or are you not?
Mm.
And the fifth time he looked at me, he goes, phew! You know, he was so angry with me.
Because
he was getting all his
bribes. Yeah.
And yeah, so that was an amazing story.
Yeah, incredible.
Oh, wow, incredible. You know, what I really loved there was, Now, sometimes I feel when we do something significant or something that is something God has anointed for us to do, the devil will always be there to demotivate you.
Yes.
Take you out of the path. And you know, for me, I've recently had that in front of you.
Yeah, no, that's right.
And we, like, to say, like, a short story, we were having lunch at a fast food restaurant just around the corner. And just all of a sudden, someone just comes up to me, actually looking at me in front of Gus. Gus, the big guy, he was, like, full of adrenaline, just in case he comes and attacks me, because you never know, you know, people are carrying knives nowadays. Yeah. You just
don't
know.
Yes.
So he's just looking at me just weirdly, and then, you know, there was confrontation, him saying things and me listening, and then, you know, Gus got up and Gus said, you know, a lot of things were said, but essentially he was saying, what's the matter? Like, what's your problem? And this was when we knew this was a spiritual thing.
Yeah.
Yes.
Is when he said, I do not like the thing that is behind you. And there was nothing behind me. And Gus is just looking there like, what's behind Rohan?
And the people with him. Mm-hmm. He didn't like the people with Rohan. And there's no one behind Rohan. Like, there's no one.
Yeah.
And it was, and then.
Awesome.
Yeah, at that moment. Wow.
Yeah, it was an incredible moment, because this is us sitting.
Angelic hosts.
Yeah. Just sitting and having lunch in a place that, you know, there are not many people around where we were.
No.
Yeah.
But it's just this guy. And then, you know, another thing Gus said, and because, you know, when we are very well educated when it comes to spirituality, not many people are. And we are, I think it's we ought to get more educated in that spiritual aspect.
Definitely.
You know, in my profession, I work where people, you know, you talk about spirituality, I'm like, oh, there's nothing.
Yeah.
Mm. But, you know, but there's so many things, like I always talk to Gus about this, where there's so many things unexplained in the field of medicine. We believe in faith.
Yeah.
Like, we believe that out of faith.
Yeah.
And why isn't religion or, you know, believe in God any different? Like, we should be believing in faith.
Yes.
But coming to that story, you know, I like what you said. He's like, would it help you if we left? And he did say yes.
Mm. Mm.
And that showed, you know, when God's working.
Yeah.
And you know, surprisingly, he was not coming close to me. That was what got a bit of my attention.
Yeah.
Like, he just doesn't want to come close. He's kept his distance, but he was ready to speak a lot of things.
Yeah. Mm. So agitated that he wanted to do something but couldn't. And it wasn't until we realized he was talking about, because we were talking about, Rohan was telling me about, you know, the call of God in his life, and he's never going
to... Were they listening to what you were saying?
No, had headphones on. He couldn't hear a word.
But they saw something.
And he was sitting behind us facing the other way, couldn't hear a word, and then just got so agitated, stood up, turned around. And so when I spoke to him, he couldn't hear me. He had to take his headphones off.
Mm.
And then when I said it again, then it was just incredible. It was funny. But in saying that, I had so much adrenaline, I was ready to throw up my lunch.
Too much information.
But, you know, that was like, you know, it showed us that we're going the right way. And this was even pre this podcast stuff. We were actually planning all this for it to happen. We didn't know that God's hand is upon this. And you know, similarly to your story, like, you know, the devil's going to come. He's going to try to attack you. But he cannot do anything because
you're
covered by the blood of Jesus.
Yeah.
Amen to that.
That's right.
And you know, just for the viewers and listeners, like, you know, there's so many things. Sometimes we don't even realize we're going through spiritual battles until later on when you think about it and you're like, wow, this is spiritual in nature.
But the more we pray,
exactly,
the more time we spend with Jesus, the more Holy Spirit will say, hey, you're awake.
Yeah. But then that protection, you went to probably the most dangerous place on the earth at that time. And there was nothing that could harm you.
Nothing.
Yeah. No. And it's just incredible.
That's right.
That's a testimony itself.
Yeah.
Like, just that story is such a, you know, shows, you know, God's powerful. Like, sometimes we just, I don't know even why sometimes, including me, just need evidence that, oh, you know, you're working in my life. Give me evidence. Yeah. Like, I do not understand why I do that.
Yeah.
And
well, it's your upbringing, I suppose.
But it's just like, sometimes I'm like, I don't need evidence. Like, I know you're working in my life.
That's
the
right.
fact that I have food, shelter, and basic necessity with me, that shows enough of your, you know, your giving and your kind nature.
Yeah.
And I think that's very important. We need to get that a bit in perspective, because
absolutely,
not many people appreciate that. But no. Thank you so much, Mike. We're going to be wrapping it up very soon. Mm-hmm. So you are you doing any ministry, just shortly? Are you doing any ministries at the moment that you want us, say for like help, prayers, or support?
Well, this might come as a shock to my pastor, but I'm planning, God willing, to spend time permanently in Philippines, in the mountains. Mm. I've just gone through a whole rigmarole of letters and applications and police checks and you name it. And so hopefully if I can get permanent residency, the plan is to go to the mountains where I've been ministering and spend time there, come home occasionally.
Mm-hmm.
We're working with Compassion, you know, Darlene Check's organization. We're working with a lot of the children up in the mountains.
Yeah.
And the people up there are different to city people, because they're into corn, corn and wheat, bananas. And so they're all, you know, pretty friendly type people. And the pastor has an issue, they're there. You know, and it's so good.
Yeah.
And I'm loved there. I can honestly say that's not a boast. It's just a fact.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I only boast in Christ, as Paul said.
Yeah, but yeah.
I do boast in that, because that love is awesome.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so it's not because of the love, it because that's where God wants me.
Yeah.
And the local mayor is right behind me. He says, look, I see what's happening up here. We're getting Anglicans, Catholics, Calathumpians, you name them. They're all coming together to this pastor that I've been trying to nurture over the years.
Yeah, yeah.
They're coming to him. And having monthly meetings and asking him to be the speaker.
Yeah, that's incredible.
And then we go into the schools, and the government has just announced that all government departments, police, schooling, hospitals, education, the whole bit, please encourage Christians to come and minister to you.
Oh, that's incredible. So it doors is. Are really
and so we're taking full advantage of that.
Yeah,
so that's, yeah.
Yep.
Great. Thank you so much, Mike. Appreciate you being in our show. Unfortunately, we have so limited time.
Yeah, so many stories.
So many testimonies to share. So
we'll
have to wrap it up. But before we wrap up, we always love that the guest say some prayer. And would love to, for you to pray for our show, you know, this church, and, you know, all our viewers and listeners from all around the world.
Mm,
and just pray over them.
Yes, Lord. Oh, Father, I thank you for those that are watching. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would touch their hearts. Just as when we go to a church and we feel touched by the Holy Spirit, likewise with this. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will minister to thousands of people, whoever sit and watch this. And I thank you that those that will accept Jesus into their hearts. And I pray for this ministry, Lord, that it will expand and just continue to grow and become very popular, because we know that Jesus is coming soon. Mm-hmm. So, Father, I pray for this team. I pray for my brothers, Lord, that this will be a very successful show. No, not a show, a program. And I give you all the praise and all the glory, Lord, as we just bless your mighty name. Father, bless the church. Where it's initiated from Logan City Christian Church. And we thank you for the mission work that they do.
Mm.
We give you all the praise. Lord, I ask you from the bottom of my heart, Lord, that we can truly move in the Spirit and see people touched by the power of the Holy Spirit and drawn into your kingdom fully, and learn how to pray, learn how to read the Word of God, learn how to know that we know that we know that we know that you are God and you did create this world. And I just thank you, Father, for our families. Bring them in, Lord. Bring them in, the hurting, the angry, the frustrated. Bring them in, Lord, and help us to be a minister to them, in Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 Thank you, everyone, for joining us for another episode of Real Talk Friday. That was Mike here bringing us some amazing, amazing story. Thank you again, and I hope you join us on our next episode of Real Talk Friday.
As we conclude our episode of Real Talk Friday, we extend our heartfelt gratitude to all our listeners for joining us on this enlightening journey.
But our journey doesn't end here. Join us every Friday as we continue to uncover the real stories of real people, where authenticity intersects with spirituality in profound ways. Together, we'll navigate the complexities of life, finding inspiration and hope in the remarkable narrative shared within the walls of Logan City Christian Church.
Thank you for tuning in, and until next time, may your faith journey be filled with grace, understanding, and the unwavering presence of God. Stay tuned for more Real Talk every Friday on Real Talk Friday. Thank you.